All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. May 1st, 2025. Congratulations. We made it through another month. Hope everybody's doing well. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. Midst of all the chaos and craziness out there, hopefully you can find some peace and serenity and have a great, wonderful morning and day. I'm looking forward to trying to do that myself. Got up early this morning. I didn't feel like sleeping. Got up at 5:30. Went paddling yesterday, so I'm awfully sore. Body is sore, slightly chafed, rubbed parts together too many times for too long yesterday. Yesterday was one of the paddles that start to introduce us to paddling in the summer, which probably means, you know, 8 to 10 miles. And yesterday we all got together. A great day. Oh my God, beautiful day, beautiful boat, great crew. Coach is like, "Are we good with 8 miles?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, 8 miles." Because actually, prior to him showing up, we'd sort of been talking that we figured we'd be doing 10. So for him to say 8 was like, yeah, we're good with 8. And that was good, man. We got to the end. We usually paddle, typically we'll paddle however many, you know, if we're doing 10 miles, we'll paddle 5 miles away, right? It sort of makes sense. And then 5 miles back. We paddled about 4.8 miles away and finally turned around. I was good. I felt strong. Interesting conditions, headwind, currents. It's a lot of fun, man. It's, you know, it's definitely suffering and a good challenge. But yeah, we got back and, but I think we ended up doing 9.6 miles or something like that. And, I was definitely tired, worn out, but I was okay. You know, I wasn't throwing up and dying. Great day to be out on the water. Went and had hamburgers afterwards. Sort of got into a situation with, you know, I'm sober, right? I'm working a program. But, man, there are days I'm just not perfect. Far from perfect, right? Just barely hanging, holding it together. And I'm pretty good on my own, but sometimes when I have to interact with some people, I can be, like, testy and edgy and critical and judgmental and yada, yada, yada. And one of the guys I paddle with, he is from upstate, United States, up New York. And he's a great guy, but you can tell he's a big, you know, he's a big shot. I think he owned his own company, probably retired, moved down here with his wife. You know, I really like this guy, but, you know, I can tell that he has some success. And it's weird, but when people have success, for me, I guess as a person that never had any success, definitely didn't have any success early on in my life. I would consider myself having success now, but not a lot. But, you know, I'm not completely out of the conversation like I used to be. But for some reason, when I meet successful people like that, I sometimes have like a little, you know, like, I don't know. It's something in a four-step, right? It's the Mr. Jones story, you know, and it all falls back into the same old shit, right? I didn't put in the effort. I didn't, you know, go to college. I, you know, chose this instead of that, and that's why it's left me with this. And even though I feel like I'm past that stuff and I recognize it and I don't care, sometimes, right, situations come up like that, and I get a little, you know, I don't know what it is. I didn't even feel like I was, I don't know. But we were having a conversation, and like I said, I really like this guy, but we're talking about license plates, and he's like, we got, because they just moved down here. He's like, we got to get our Delaware plates. And I go, oh, well, you know, in Delaware is funny because you can get, at Christmas, you can buy a 5-digit tag. Delaware, I don't know if any other state does it, but Delaware has a thing with license plates. And a lot of people enjoy lower number license plates. It's all ego, right? License plates are all the same. They all do the same thing, but some have lower numbers. And it's a great opportunity for the ego at heart to, you know, get a plate that's better than anybody else's. And I was, I was asking him, I said, because he, you know, he'd mentioned he's getting his Delaware plates. I go, did you, because he drives a beautiful Lexus SUV and it's, you know, just a great truck. And I can tell, right? I am assuming that he is a little egocentric, right? A little ego forward because he's driving an amazing looking car. So clearly how he looks and what he's driving is important, as to a lot of us, right? I'm not, he's a great guy. But he, you know, I was trying to explain that he's like, you know, it was just a weird, the temperature of the conversation was weird. And then he got like, I was like, never mind, man, I'm not going to try to explain all the nuances of Delaware in one conversation, you know, because he's like, what do you mean a license plate? And I'm like, you know, because like I was saying, Delaware people can get low digit tags and they like it. And at Christmas, they sell 5-digit tags. And I was trying to say, you know, maybe you could get a 5-digit tag for your Lexus, right? So, but he was like, I don't know. And then he got pissed, and I got annoyed, and then he got pissed off, and then he stormed off, and I was like, oh no, this one I fucked up. I guess I don't see this is one of those situations where I don't really know. My intentions were not to be an asshole. But for some reason, he's one of, you know, that we always have I have people that come in my life that I really just don't jive with. You know, it's like oil and water, right? But, you know, I always say, well, shit, I should be able to get along with anybody. I'm sober, right? But there is some challenging people. So basically he got sort of pissed off, walked away. And I was like, look, Mike, this is what I'm talking about. He's like, yeah, whatever, man. I don't care. I was like, oh, shit. So he stormed off and basically got all my stuff together and then went over there. And I was like, hey, man, I apologize. I really wasn't trying to be a jerk. He's like, sounded like you were. I was like, well, I apologize. I was not trying to be a jerk. I really appreciate you. I think you're a really great guy. I love the fact that you're in the club. I look up to you. I think you're awesome. I love you, man. You know, I don't need any issues. And he's like, well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry, too. He's like, I can be an asshole. And I was like, yeah, I think we all can. But, you know, that is that I'm not perfect. You know, recovery has not made me perfect. I still struggle. But hopefully, you know, the moments are minimal. And, you know, when something like that does happen, I can say, hey, you know, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have said it like that, or whether I even didn't say anything wrong and we're still in this situation, I apologize, because really I don't want to spend my life, you know, having conflicts. And when he stormed off, I was like, well, fuck him, right? But I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. And so, you know, I made an amends and I cleaned it up and he did the same. And he said that he really appreciated that. And, you know, onward and upward.
Or so. Oh,
MFC. Well, that was, MFC. Pearl Jam Live. It's so funny, that song. I was in going to Rutgers when that album came out. It was that's not a new song, but it was a live version of it. And the album came out the year I was going to Rutgers, my first year of recovery. The first year I was going to college when I was told I shouldn't. And but yeah, anyway, so it was just, you know, I guess the whole point of that is, man, I've been sober a long time and situations still come up. And thank God, right? Thank God I've been able to work at a program, right? And thank God I continue to look at it every day. And thank God that I'm willing to, you know, correct things when they get astray. And it was funny because yesterday the whole conversation didn't mean to get astray, but it ended up becoming that. And it went off the rails sort of quickly. And in my defense, I will say he's a little bit of, I can tell he runs the roost, right? Which is fine. But, you know, he, when the conversation didn't really go his way, because sometimes you can feel it's like mental jousting with conversations in certain people. And you're like, okay, what is up with this guy? And even though him and I have been friends for a while, we've been paddling together for a couple years now. We don't interact a lot, and it's sometimes when we do, it gets a little weird. And, you know, he's the smartest guy in the boat, and I appreciate that. Maybe I don't like that either, right, secretly. On the outside, I'm like, I appreciate that he knows so much about this sport. But at the same time, maybe inside I don't. But whatever, you know, thank God we made it, we cleaned it up, hugged it out, and we had, you know, we had a great day on the boat. He's a freaking awesome paddler. His wife is amazing. Much appreciation to that. Thank God for the program because I didn't have to stress about that too long. And onward and upward, like I said. So last night, big meeting, my big meeting, my home group meeting, Wednesday nights. Great meeting last night. Home group member, buddy of mine celebrated 8 years, and it was awesome. You know, another success story for today. You know, I do enjoy his story. His story is a lot like mine and a lot of other people's. Sober for a long time, and then one day, the whole program just starts to unwind itself. And I talk about it all the time, right? The wolves and the demons and the spirits and all this fucking hokey pokey bullshit. But it is absolutely real. The only reason I know it because many people tell me about it, right? I'm not the only one. And I'm not repeating other people's stories. I lived the freaking story. I lived the story today. You know, the whole incident yesterday was a great opportunity to remove that guy as part of my friend group. And he's not even part of my friend group. That's the worst part. I didn't even really make him a part of my friend group, and I'm already removing him. I don't want to live like that, right? But I didn't come for that stuff, but it's what keeps me here today. And when my buddy shared last night, you know, that was his story. Sober for 11 years, and then all of a sudden didn't like a meeting. And unwound ourselves right out of the freaking program, and then went back out. And it's the same. His story is just like mine, right? I was like, you know, I always use the example of the money basket or whatever it was. The money basket is usually the example, but it was 100 things. It was 100 things. The devil was ready for me to get out of recovery and get back to doing what I used to do. And so it was the basket. It was the way the building faced. It was the limited people in the meeting. I don't know anybody. This isn't as good as my old meeting. It was a list of 100 things that built the case for me to leave. But it was the same thing. I finally, you know, one day I've listened enough. I'm driving down the store. You deserve a drink. Look how good you've done. Made the right turn into the liquor store and was hiding bottles of vodka by the end of the week. But still. You know, and there's a lot of gray area in there, you know. My neighbor next door, he was a big drinker, and I remember going out to dinner with him while my wife was still at work, and I decided, you know, already into the drinking, right? But now I'm like, hey, maybe I can try beer, right? And then talking to my wife about it. My buddy that shared last night, it was same thing. He went out in Vegas, And then went to an anniversary dinner with his wife and ordered a bottle of wine. And she's like, "You're ordering wine?" He's like, "Yeah, I haven't had a drink in a long time. And I thought maybe, you know, I could try having wine." Not knowing, her not knowing, that he had already started drinking again. Right? It's just this, and it's so, what's the worst part about it is you can take a perfectly normal person, a perfectly good person in recovery, doing all the right things, being honest, having humility. And when the devil comes back, the lies and the bullshit starts like right away. And right away, I'm lying to my wife, manipulating my wife, you know, telling her I can do this. Look how long it's been. I should be fine. And then trying to hold it together publicly to her. So she thinks in her mind that I've got this together. And you're in the choice that we made together, because, of course, it isn't all my fault. She said I could, right? The choice that we made together was the right choice. And privately, secretly, away from her, it was the wrong choice. And I knew it immediately. But that's just, you know, that's just how it goes. And so it was great to hear him. He is back. He said the tough part is he drank for 10 years. You know, he went back out and drank. Sober 11 years, went back out, drank 10 more years. And then comes in and has been sober for another 8 years. It is possible. It is possible. What I love about this guy is he's very honest, you know, about, and I've said it, you know, meetings suck. I'd rather not go. And definitely there are times, especially right now, I really don't feel like going. But you got to put your nose on the grindstone and keep up with the work, because it's just how it is. And if we don't, those demons will get us again. But I love when he was sharing his story, because he does some outreach with this recovery house, a local recovery house, Impact. And, you know, he was one of the guys I sponsor, got him to step in for him because he was going to be out of town. And the guy that I sponsor, they do service at the halfway house. And he shared last night, he goes, "I didn't want to go there. It was an accident. It was a mistake. You know, I didn't feel like getting involved in working with people in a recovery house." But he goes, "Thank God that I did." And, you know, his story is funny because, you know, as he shared it last night, you know, as he picked up the drink and as he drank for 10 years and ground his life down and almost lost everything, you know, he finally got to that point where he was sick and tired of being sick and tired again. Right. And I know I don't recommend going out. Don't go back out. But I can tell you, for me, best thing I ever did, right, because I came in the first time because I had to. The second time I made the decision on my own. And it sounded like this is how my buddy's, you know, path was too. He had to the first time. And then the second time, you know, he'd become sick and tired of being sick and tired. He'd had enough. And he went to actually the meeting that my home group meeting, the Wednesday night meeting. He had gone there. They used to have a Monday night meeting there at 8 o'clock, and he saw it on a list and went down there. But they had changed the meeting to 6, and so he was sitting there in the rain in the parking lot. But at the same time, my sponsor was there because he had had, you know, some tough times, and his life was sort of having, you know, he had to address his, you know, a meeting attendance, I guess. And so they ended up meeting, and there was no meeting. And then, you know, the one guy asked the other guy, "Hey, do you want to go get a cup of coffee?" And that's how, I think he sponsors him now. And so that's how that started. But, you know, it's just a lot of God moments, a lot of miracles happening. You know, we have to be available, right? The situation that happened yesterday with my buddy, you know, that's a situation that became available. I didn't have to do anything. He was definitely not going to do anything. He was basically, he sort of reminded me of myself a little bit, and I don't want to badmouth him, but he was having a little bit of a tantrum. I could tell he sort of runs the roost, and I think maybe that's what it was too. I'm like, "Bro, you don't run the roost here," which is my problem. He can run the roost. I don't give a fuck. But it was several situations that all happened at the same time. But, you know, the opportunity came, a God moment, a moment of humility, a moment to, you know, should I let this relationship go because of my ego and pride? Or should I eat that crow because I played a role. My feet were there. I said things. Comments were made. They weren't mean comments, but they were subtle. And sometimes the subtle ones are the ones that are most aggravating. Those are the ones that wrap conversations up real quick. And, you know, the God moment was there. Do you want to find the humility to say, hey, I apologize. I fucked up. I shouldn't have said it that way. I really appreciate you. And that's what I did. But there's all these God moments that happen, and that's what happened with my friend. And, you know, I'm really grateful because he's a really great guy, and he's helping a lot of people. A lady shared, and, you know, she put out the reminder that, you know, look to your left and right because one of these people on one side of you won't be here. The odds are not good for us. And it's not because, you know, we go on bottle tours and brewery tours and, you know, we're sniffing lids or whatever it is. It's because all the other shit. It's because of those conversations, right? You know, I have one of those kind of strained conversations with a group, a person in my paddle club. And if I don't start, if I don't have the ability or the willingness or the honesty, right, to clean that up, then I'm not going to have the honesty and willingness to clean up any of them. And when we stop doing that, we're headed towards, you know, drinking, unfortunately. Because these are the wolves. Right? These are the wolves. That conversation was the wolves. You know, we start to separate ourselves. And that had nothing to do with recovery. Right? That wasn't at a meeting. He isn't sober. In fact, afterwards, you know, after we paddled, after I apologized, and he was like, because I go, I'm sorry, man. I wasn't trying to be an asshole. He goes, it sure sounded like you were. And I was like, I'm sorry, I wasn't. I was not. And after the paddling, we all went over to the restaurant, this restaurant across the canal, and I watched all them drink. Right. My three of them all drink. I don't know if the guy I got into the slight argument was drinking, but I know the other two were, and you know, and I was judging them, but I just kept saying to myself, I'm so grateful that I am sober today and that I don't have to drink alcohol today. Just so grateful. I bet it would have been fun. I'm sure there would have been. Like I always say, I missed the first one. Maybe the second one. But after that, it's a shit show. Right? I got sober because of the 10th one. And, you know, I just keep reminding myself. But like I said, these are all God moments. We can take the opportunity to, you know, remind. And that's what it is for me. I had to remind myself, Tom. And I said that. Listen, I can be a jerk sometimes, and I don't even know it. And he's like, I can too. Right? He was like, I can definitely. You know, I could tell. Him and I probably have the same issue, right? We probably. I get real, and you know, the funny thing about the meeting last night, it was a lot of people, and I get real uncomfortable around people, right? I've been sober for a long time, but in situations like that, I feel like, you know, a 9-year-old kid at my first day of school, not knowing anybody, walking around trying to have somebody say, hey, buddy, what's up? It's like a flashback to being a child, and last night, I just, you know, after the meeting, I got out of there. But I was like, you know, goddamn, so many people. Right, I don't know. Is that a little notch on the post of trying to work myself out of that meeting? Probably, just another wolf. But I, you know, I just don't like a lot of people. There's a lot of freaking people there last night, and good for him. He deserves it. Awesome. All right. Well, let's see. Maybe I can read the daily reflections. And I've been busy, man. I got up this morning. I played. I had to go to the grocery store. I had to go by my dad's house. I'm gonna go for a walk. And then I am going to work. I'm making chili. Got it all going on this morning. So, all right, daily reflections. And my ribs starting to feel better, man. I was a little concerned how that was going to go yesterday, and it went great. All right, daily reflections. May 1st. Healing heart and mind. Nice. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 12 steps, 12 tradition. Since it is true that God comes to me through people, yeah, I can see that by keeping people at a distance, I also keep God at a distance. God is nearer to me than I think, and I can experience him by loving people and allowing people to love me. But I can neither love nor be loved if I allow my secrets to get in the way. It's the side of myself that I refuse to look at that rules me. I must be willing to look at the dark side in order to heal my mind and heart, because that is the road to freedom. I must walk into darkness to find the light and walk into fear to find peace. By revealing my secrets and thereby ridding myself of guilt, I can actually change my thinking by altering my thinking. I can change myself, my thoughts, create my future. That I will be tomorrow is determined by what I think today. I think it's really cool that I've said this before. I have no preparation. It's probably obvious. I just sit down. I'm making chili downstairs. I just paused it so I could go stir the chili. I have no preparation. I'm just a guy hanging on like the rest of us, right? And I like to share and talk about things that are on my mind. And I love when the Daily Reflections sort of says the same thing, right? You know, yesterday was a simple little conversation that lasted about 30 seconds. But it was it could have been the beginning to a really rough path, right? You know, I'm still trying to figure out how I got there in the first place, right? My conversation, I don't know really. I got, you know, and I would work on that. I do want to be better at conversation. Sometimes people just don't converse well together. But it could have been, you know, when he stormed off, there was a moment I said, you know what, fuck him. And so that could have been the beginning of me maybe even leaving the club. You know, I need him. He's a very good paddler. He has great advice for technique and stuff. So I need him. So that's a bad way to be in a club with all of a sudden isolating yourself away from one of the smarter people in the club. So it was a real opportunity. My life could have taken a big change with a 15-second conversation. And, you know, I found it as a God moment. I said, he's really annoyed. Do I want to pursue this? And I said, yeah, you've upset him and you need to say sorry. And that's what I did. And I'm so grateful because, you know, I don't want to be out of recovery. I don't want to be, you know, out of meetings, and I don't want to be out of my paddle group. It's fucking the greatest thing I get to do, man. And so thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving me the humility yesterday to, you know, clean that up. I hope everyone has a great day. I will talk to you later. Bye-bye. Sunset, she'll rise.